It is June 23rd, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast includes commentaries from our hits and takes section of JLN, stories from the first read section of today's newsletter, a listing of the top three stories in yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's newsletter. We also have two news stories. One is an interview of TT's CEO from our IDX coverage. The second is an interview of BestX founder and CEO Hitesh Mittal talking about potential proposals coming soon out of the SEC. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki. It is June 23rd, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast includes commentaries from our hits and takes section of JLN, stories from the first read section of today's newsletter, a listing of the top three stories in yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's newsletter. We also have two news stories. One is an interview of TT's CEO from our IDX coverage. The second is an interview of BestX founder and CEO Hitesh Mittal talking about potential proposals coming soon out of the SEC. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Yesterday, the OCC named Andrei Bolkovic as CEO-elect. He will take over for John Davidson in October. Davidson will leave in the first half of 2023, so the two will work together and Davidson will hand off the job to facilitate a smooth transition of responsibilities, the OCC press release said. I learned that Davidson was to be replaced back in April and that the OCC board would be forming a CEO search committee. However, my questions about this were denied by OCC corporate communication sources. I must not have asked the exact right questions to get the answers I needed. The tip I received was from a credible source who backed up the tip with people to confirm the information. After the vehement denial of the CEO change in the works by the OCC staff, I decided to go to the options conference and ask Davidson himself. And so I did. As luck would have it, Davidson joined the table my wife and son and I were sitting at during the Tuesday night outside dinner party. Davidson told me he had another year on his contract. He was past 65 by a couple of years, and it was time for someone younger to take over and finish the work he started. He also named a couple of people I should talk to about the ongoing search, though my efforts were rebuffed when I brought up the subject to the first one mentioned. I did not break the news that the CEO of the OCC was going to be replaced based on unnamed sources. It would have been a great scoop for JLN. I greatly appreciated the tip. My problem is that I have too much respect for the OCC and for Davidson and wanted to try to get this story the right way. I did get a heads up 10 minutes before the press release came out that I read an hour late. And now you know the story I did not share with you. The NFA has posted the following to its website. June 22, 2022. NFA has learned of a potentially malicious copycat domain, cases-nfa.futures.org. Any email originating from this domain and purporting to be from NFA is not legitimate and should be ignored. All legitimate emails from NFA will come from an address ending in @nfa.futures.org, NFA notifications @mailer.nfa.org, or @nfa-swaps-proficiency-requirements.moonami.com in the case of NFA's swaps proficiency requirements. NFA reminds all members to diligently scrutinize the sender's addresses for any email purportedly sent by NFA. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing celebrated its 22nd listing anniversary with a ceremony hosted by its chair, Laura M. Cha, and CEO Nicholas Aguzin in their newly refurbished Connect Hall. Also attending were the guest of honor, Hong Kong's chief executive Carrie Lam, as well as Hong Kong's financial secretary Paul Chan and others. Goldman Sachs announced via LinkedIn that it will be an official partner of McLaren Formula One team. This is Goldman's efforts to accelerate progress towards McLaren Racing's net zero goal. Former CFTC Chairman J. Christopher Giancarlo was subject of an NFT by CG Pantheon, powered by the Solana Foundation, as part of its 1,000 Innovative Minds collection for girls' education. Giancarlo is pictured in armor in a Viking longboat. He said on LinkedIn he would have preferred it been a gondola. If CFTC Commissioner Carolyn D. Pham comes over to dinner soon, make sure she takes off her shoes before she comes into the house. She just finished up a farm tour in Nebraska for a deep dive into agriculture and farming, and who knows what's on her shoes. I applaud her for getting out into the country and meeting some of the people for whom our markets were created. Nice move, Commissioner. Lionel Laurent, the always interesting columnist at Bloomberg, has a timely piece this morning titled, "Crypto is Not Too Big to Fail, Even with the Help from FTX. The billionaire-run platform's support for distressed peers looks more like a sticking plaster than a credible backstop." We are not into the dog days of summer yet, but a bloodhound named Trumpet won the Best in Show award at the Westminster Dog Show. This was the first time a bloodhound came away with this prize. Let's just say this hound could hunt. I will be dead in less than 10 years, according to a story in USA Today, who says people who can't stand on one foot for more than 10 seconds are twice as likely to die in the next decade. With my neuropathy, I am lucky if I can stand on 2 feet for 10 seconds without falling. I can lie on the floor for more than 10 seconds without being able to get up, though. At least I have that going for me. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's our video of Keith Todd. TT's Todd talks Talos, crypto, what comes next, and energizing a motivated team. Trading Technology CEO Keith Todd made a deal with Talos, a provider of institutional digital asset trading technology, and John Lothian News wanted to know more about it and what it meant for TT and its customers. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's our second video. SEC rule to promote order competition, the focus of Hitesh Mittal JLN interview. Hitesh Mittal, the CEO and founder of BestX Research, talked with JLN in a video interview over Zoom, reflecting on recent comments by SEC Chairman Gary Gensler about promoting more competition in the market. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Wall Street gets ready to rumble over stock trading rules. The SEC's Gary Gensler is proposing big changes to the system that's fueled the rise of free brokerage apps. A battle is brewing in Washington and on Wall Street over how stocks get traded. At issue is whether retail investors get the best bang for their buck. The controversy may be puzzling to anyone outside the industry, given that commissions have fallen to zero on stock trading apps and discount brokerage services. But U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission Chair Gary Gensler is asking whether those trades come with hidden costs, or if it's even possible to tell under the current system whether retail investors are getting the best prices when they buy and sell stocks. The markets have become increasingly hidden from view, Gensler said in a June speech delivered remotely to an investment banking conference in New York, as he previewed a sweeping proposal for new rules. Finance executives in the room sat furiously typing on their phones and shaking their heads while neglecting their chicken entrees. My comment, this story is a good prep for the video interview we published today with BestX Research founder and CEO Hitesh Mittal. Here's a story from US Today, referenced earlier. Balancing on one leg for 10 seconds may predict the likelihood of living or dying, study says. You're twice as likely to die in the next decade if you're currently unable to balance on one foot for 10 seconds, according to a new study. Conversely, the study suggests that your ability to balance on one foot points to longer life expectancy. The peer-reviewed study conducted by Brazilian researchers, published Tuesday in the British Journal of Sport Medicine, determined that a person's balance ability can be preserved into the sixth decade of one's life, meaning it's more broad of an indicator of life expectancy across age ranges than aerobic fitness, flexibility, or muscle strength. Dr. Claudio Gil Soares de Araújo, the lead author of the study and a sports and exercise physician at the Exercise Medicine Clinic Cinemex in Rio de Janeiro, said poor balance is linked to frailty in older adults, and one's musculoskeletal fitness is a prime indicator of declining health. My comment: there was a time when I could do this, but then I had a lot more wax left in my candle. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Abby Joseph Cohen says era of everything going up is over. Fundamentals, security selection matter again as markets slide. Investors have already priced in a mild recession, she said. With fervor in the markets receding, investors will need to critically focus on fundamentals and security selection to ride out the turbulence, Abby Joseph Cohen said. The S&P 500 index is poised for its worst first half since Richard Nixon's presidency, as red-hot inflation and Federal Reserve interest rate hikes batter stocks. Amid the current sell-off, picking out securities will be important, Cohen, a professor at Columbia Business School and former senior investment strategist at Goldman Sachs, Inc., said in an interview on Bloomberg Surveillance Wednesday. My comment: everything can't go up. Something has to go down, like my bank account, as I pay for higher prices. Here's a story from Bloomberg. UK gives 100 days to spend last £14.5 billion of paper banknotes. Bank of England says paper £20 and £50 notes will be withdrawn. UK Central Bank has issued more durable currency on polymer. The Bank of England said people holding £14.5 billion in old paper banknotes have just 100 days to spend or deposit the money before it becomes worthless. The UK Central Bank said about 477 million of Britain's last remaining banknotes printed on paper remain in the hands of the public, but will cease to be legal tender after September 30th. The majority of paper banknotes have now been taken out of circulation, but a significant number remain in the economy, said Sarah John, chief cashier at the Bank of England. The paper notes are the last of their kind in the UK. The central bank started printing on a plastic-like polymer that's more durable and has improved security features. My comment: at least it will make interesting wallpaper. Here's a story from NBC News. Ohio State University wins trademark for the word "the." Ohio State University won a years-long legal battle for "the" on Tuesday, gaining trademark protection for the three-letter article that plays an outsized role in the school identity. Surely to the sighs and eye rolls of the other Big Ten rivals, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office approved OSU's application for THE, specifically for use on branded products like t-shirts and caps that only feature the single word. My comment: I can remember when I was in a meeting with representatives of the New York Stock Exchange back in the day, and they referred to the NYSE as the exchange. Of course, the nickname is the big board, but that is slang. The NYSE people were very adamant about how it was referred to at this meeting. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday. Our top story by a wide margin Wednesday was meet the billionaire and rising GOP mega donor who's gaming the tax system from ProPublica about Susquehanna founder Jeff Yes. Second was Citadel Securities, a day in the life of a trader in NYSE from eFinancial Careers. Third was the fire burning beneath crypto's meltdown from the Wall Street Journal. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, a press release from the OCC. OCC Board of Directors appoints Andrei Bolkovic as CEO-elect. Bolkovic will succeed CEO John Davidson, who will retire in the first half of 2023. OCC, the world's largest equity derivatives clearing organization, today announced that its board of directors has appointed Andrei Bolkovic, currently CEO of Acuna Capital LLC, as its next chief executive officer, replacing John P. Davidson, who will retire in the first half of 2023. Bolkovic will officially join OCC as CEO-elect on October 3, 2022, and will work closely with Davidson, the Board of Directors, and Management Committee to facilitate a smooth transition of responsibilities. Here's a story from Bloomberg. SEC to propose new rules for online brokers, game-like features. Regulator may announce new regulations as soon as October. Gary Gensler has raised concern over retail trading apps. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission plans to propose new rules this year to crack down on the behavioral prompts and data analytics used by some online stock brokerages and investment advisors. The agency's bid to impose restrictions on trading and investing apps popular with retail traders follows a review by the SEC of digital engagement practices, which critics refer to as gamification of investing. Wall Street's main regulator said last August that it was concerned that game-like features are putting investors at risk by encouraging excessive trading. And here's another story from Bloomberg. Germany warns of Lehman-like contagion from Russian gas cuts. Germany warned that Russia's move to slash Europe's natural gas supplies risked sparking a collapse in energy markets, drawing a parallel to the role Lehman Brothers in triggering the financial crisis, with energy suppliers piling up losses by being forced to cover volumes at high prices. There's a danger of spillover effect for local utilities and their customers, including consumers and businesses. Economy Minister Robert Habeck said Thursday after raising the country's gas risk level to the second highest alarm phase. And then here's one more story just for fun. Germany looks at potential rationing of natural gas after Russia cuts supply. The potential move could push Europe's biggest economy into recession. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The German government moved closer to rationing natural gas on Thursday after Russia cut deliveries to the country last week in an escalation of the economic war triggered by Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. Berlin triggered the second of its three-step plan to deal with gas shortages after the Kremlin-controlled energy giant Gazprom, the country's biggest gas exporter, throttled delivery via the Nord Stream pipeline around 60% last week. Germany's gas reserves are at about 58% capacity, and the government now expects a gas shortage by December if supplies don't pick up. Economy Minister Robert Habeck said. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day, and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.